Football. Rugby.
It is a poison chalice that All Black, you know, coach. You don't win. You need 90% success rate, and you need to win the Rugby Championship every year, and you need to win the World Cup when that comes, and then that's okay. You get a thumbs up from the public.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to a huge night in the Champions League with all 36 teams in action to decide who goes through to the knockout stages. Is summer football the only way to go in Ireland? And Denise Sullivan explains why she left the US to join Liverpool. But first, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says he feels good about their position in the Champions League, despite preferring to have more points. City are at home to Turkish side Galatasaray tonight in their final group game. City have to win to be in with a chance of avoiding a playoff like last season when they went on to lose to Real Madrid. Guardiola is well aware a win mightn't be enough for a top 8 finish.
We see the result in the last 5-10 minutes. How is our result, and after that we see. So we have to focus in and win our game. That is the key.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says his players have to enjoy the position they're in. They hold a 4-point lead at the top of the Premier League and remain alive in all four competitions. A win at home to Cairo tonight would also guarantee they finish in first place with 8 wins from 8.
The excitement, that conviction, that energy, that will is the way you have to live when you want to achieve a dream, when you want to achieve something that you play for 10 months. Because out of that, a lot of incredible things are going to emerge. Some of the things that we cannot even imagine.
Christian Nørgaard insists he's happy at Arsenal despite struggling for minutes this season. The Denmark international is mostly featured from the bench and is still waiting for his first Premier League start since his move from Brentford.
I knew that it would be a different role here, and I've tried to embrace it as much as possible. Of course, I do feel some sort of frustration when I don't play, but I think that's really, really normal. And it's about how do you change that frustration to try and improve or try and show the manager that he can give me more minutes than I've had so far.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot fully accepts the criticism coming his way after an inconsistent run of form. The defending Premier League champions are 14 points behind leaders Arsenal, but they can secure a place in the last 16 of the Champions League tonight if they beat Karabag at Anfield. Slot says there's still plenty of time for this to become a season that ends with some silverware.
I can say if we improve in both boxes, I think we're able to win something this season. And if we only improve in one box, it's going to be really difficult to win something this season.
Liverpool winger Jeremy Frimpong admits the competition has taken on greater importance this season, given their struggles in the Premier League.
Yeah, obviously, everybody wants to play in the Champions League. Champions League is one of the biggest competition out there. So everybody wants to show what they got in the Champions League. So obviously, we're going to give it our all, and hopefully we can get to where we want to get.
Tottenham boss Thomas Frank hopes to have a busy end to the transfer window. A deal to bring in Scotland captain Andy Robertson from Liverpool has fallen through, with Liverpool deciding they want to hold on to him. Frank says they're working hard behind the scenes to add to the squad.
Of course, when things is not exactly where we wanted and we have some injuries, you can be pushed and forced to take decisions you don't really want to take. So we need to be very, very smart and cool and calm and take good decisions to help us to optimize short-term success, but also secure long-term success.
Thomas Frank is also hoping the Champions League progression will bring a positive feeling to the club. He's faced calls to be sacked from fans in recent weeks, with Spurs down in 14th place in the Premier League. But they can seal a place in the top 8 of the Champions League tonight with the win away to Eintracht Frankfurt.
That's what we are focusing everything we can on. The other thing is that I think the performances set for a while have been good in many ways. We just haven't got on the right side enough.
Chelsea boss Limmer Senior says there's no point in discussing reports that Cole Palmer wants to join Manchester United. There's been speculation the midfielder is unsettled at Stamford Bridge and would be open to a move to the club he supported as a child.
It's so unrealistic. It's come from nowhere. There's nothing in it. There's like no reason to have the conversation. That's where I'm at. Cole is very happy. I've had numerous conversations with him. Our thoughts are on how we can make this team better, how he can improve, and how I can help him.
Chelsea will look to guarantee themselves a place in the last 16 of the Champions League when they face Napoli away from home. Chelsea are in 8th place in goal difference. A win may not be enough, though, depending on the teams behind them in terms of the goal difference. Chelsea are up against their old manager, Antonio Conte. Napoli have ambitions of their own to win the game. They're currently 25th, just 1 point outside the playoffs. The Serie A champions have former Premier League players Scott McTominay and Rasmus Højlund in their squad. But Conte says Chelsea's spending power puts them on another level.
Every coach wants to sign young players, but if a young player pays 60, 70, 80, 120 million like Caicedo, or 130 million like Fernandez, it's not for all the club, especially in Italy.
Ahead of that game in Naples, Chelsea have urged fans to exercise extreme caution after two supporters needed hospital treatment in the Italian city. The club said the fans sustained non-life-threatening injuries, but it hasn't been confirmed exactly what happened. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says going up against holders PSG will be the ultimate test. A win in Paris would secure them a place in the last 16.
We've got to try and enjoy every moment because they're so precious. I think all the competitions we're in as you go through them, you're seeking that experience, but you're seeking the reward at the end of it. And we're all determined to try and do as well as we can. This will be a great game for us, but we want to win. I think we're conditioned to think that way.
Eddie Howe will be without midfielder Joe Linton due to injury, while captain Bruno Guimaraes faces a late fitness test. Meanwhile, Anthony Gordon says he feels like a victim of his own success as he tries to rediscover the blistering form that earned him an England call-up. He scored 6 times in the Champions League this season, but he hasn't found the net from open play in the Premier League since January of last year.
I think in the Champions League, teams are much more open. They all try and play. It's less transitional. I think in the Premier League, it's become more physical than I've ever known it to be. It's like a basketball game sometimes. It's so relentless physically. It's become a lot slower and a lot more set-piece based, I would say.
Holders PSG are 6th in the table and hoping to avoid the playoff round, although it did them no harm last season. Luis Enrique's team failed to beat Newcastle when the sides met in the group stage back in 2023, which adds an extra edge to tonight's clash.
It was 2 years ago and a lot of players came, a lot of players left. And we are same coaches and the last match against them, it was at home. We draw that match and we are much better than that match. We are confident.
Some of the other games to look out for tonight in the Champions League. Jose Mourinho's Benfica need a win over his old side Real Madrid to have any chance of reaching the top 24. After last week's heroic win over Manchester City, Bodo Glimt still have a chance of qualifying, but they'd have to beat Atletico Madrid away from home. Atleti still have their eyes on a top 8 finish themselves. Barcelona are currently 9th, 1 place outside the last 16 automatic places. And they host Copenhagen, who themselves are just outside the top 24 and can still qualify. All 18 games tonight kick off at 8 o'clock. Now, there was another episode of Outside the Box this week where Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson discussed all things Irish football. On the agenda was the best of the Irish in the EFL, Ireland's forgotten man Alan Brown, the World Cup in Trump's America and Owen Eldin's impending move from Sligo Rovers to Hibs. The lads delved into the fee Sligo will receive here.
Owen Eldin, 12 goals last season, a place in the PFAI Team of the Year, Young Player of the Year, Sligo Starman is on the verge of a move to Scottish side Hibernians for a six-figure sum with a number of add-ons that could potentially see that figure rise significantly.
Yeah, look, I know there was kind of hopes and rumours that he might go for $1 million or maybe a little bit more. I know that he did sign a contract extension as well mid or two last year, but it's hard for these clubs to try and get this money out of clubs across the water, out of clubs in Europe. And quite clearly, he was one of the best players in the league last year, never mind one of the best young players. I'd be quite... after telling Johnny Kenny to get out of Celtic a few weeks ago, I'd be quite actually enthused about this move to Hibernian because it's a team that you could get into, like, you know? Like, Hibernian have improved over the last couple of months. I know I've been on about this before, but this kind of Football Data model of, like, signing players from all over Europe and further afield and trying to improve them. And there are obviously characteristics and attributes that Owen Eldin has that can, you know, that Hibernian or Hibs are really enthused about and really kind of think that they can maybe take this player to the next level. And I think it's a good step up as well. Like,
the big thing for me would be the fee. I thought they could probably command a little bit more, and I know he is under contract for another year. Owen Eldin has 12 goals last season. He was in the team of the year. I really thought they could command a bit of a bigger fee. He's gone to Hibs where obviously Kieran Bowie is up top, Scotland international. He's around 8 goals in the SPL so far this season.
So it always just depends on what their plans are for him. Like, you know, he's 19, he's not going in there as a child who's going to sit in the academy for a couple of years. I mean, I can imagine he's going in there to play. The level at which that will be is obviously point of contention as to how good the Scottish League actually is. It is a league where he could go and play. It's a team where he can go and play, especially if someone like Kieran Bowie does leave. Going in January, maybe that's another thing with him where it gives him a couple of months to settle, and next season is where you see who he gets on.
If you're listening, and I know myself sometimes at home, you don't fully understand why clubs aren't getting the fees. A huge factor in that is facilities. So when, like, specifically an English club come in and try and buy your player, everything is taken into account.
Yeah.
So when Victor Osimhuna went to Arsenal, Shamrock Rovers can point to Roadstone facilities and go, he's been training at, like, top level facilities since he was 8. Mm-hmm. So they can command a higher fee, which, like, obviously you don't have those facilities out in the West that they're training in. And it, like, it plays a huge factor into these clubs, like, really the risk you're going in to buy them.
That's available for you now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free to listen back to. The lads also discuss the football calendar in the country and whether summer football is the way to go for the entire country. And broadcaster and journalist Tommy Martin joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night and pleaded with the powers that be to have more imagination when coming up with ways to get young people playing football in the winter months.
Yes, there are challenges with having soccer played in the better weather, but they're really, really easy to overcome, you know. And the whole thing is, you know, yeah, okay, if you want to play football in winter, please come up with something better than looking out the window, hoping that that big black cloud or that, you know, Carlo weather is not going to give me bad news. Let's try and figure out better ways to get kids playing competitive football over these winter months that don't involve, you know, saturated pitches.
Yeah, like what, Tommy?
It's a little bit of imagination, you know, and I do know that, like, in the Pathways plan, there was a proposal that, like, those real dark depths of winter months would be the traditional sort of games would be replaced by sort of futsal for the younger ages and things like that. And I think the kickback there from people like the DDSL, for example, is fine. Who's going to run that? Who's going to man that? Are you going to staff it? Are we going to staff it? We don't have employees to run full time, you know. It was something like that, you know, one of the things that really scuppered the whole plan was that a lot of it was kind of like, ooh, very, very aspirational and, you know, can it really happen? But, you know, realistically, what we need to do is, yeah, okay, we want kids to still play football. Let's look at what facilities we have. Okay, first thing we obviously want is a government that will really invest in you know, indoor facilities, astroturf pitches, like a government that would make it a huge plank to say we are going to revolutionise the Irish municipal facility, sports facility offering. And, like, to be fair, on current and recent governments, like, it has come a long way from a very, very low base. You know, I think everybody might have seen various graphs that we are lowest of the whole EU at one point in recent times in terms of investment facilities. There is a lot more going in, but can you make that actually? This is a national cause now. You know, that's a hard ask when there's a housing crisis and lots of other issues as well. But that's, you know, so apart from that, can we look at, you know, every community has school halls, school playgrounds. There are AstroTurf facilities out there. Do we look at our facilities that we have over the winter months and say, what we're going to do is we're going to have small-sided futsal tournaments. We're going to get, you know, every club is going to try and, you know, get into the local school hall and run indoor nights. If there's an Astro available, why are we fixated on 11-a-side matches for 12-year-olds? Why don't, you know, where you have, you know, an 11-a-side game, 22 players on a full-size pitch, you can make 4 7-a-sides and keep, you know, whatever that is, 56 players busy for the same, you know, just make the most of the facilities that we have.
That's also available if you want to listen back in your OTB football podcast feed now. Joe Murphy, the former Ireland international goalkeeper who's still playing at the ripe age of 44 for Tranmere Rovers, joined Matthew Brennan, Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig on the Green Scene this week. He spoke about his career, including when he saved a penalty from Michael Owen at Anfield.
So your first senior game, 1998, the Euro was nowhere near in. And that's how long ago this was.
I was with the Stella Maris team, the very good Stella Maris team that we had. Richie Partridge, Keith Andrews started at 18 in the championship here at Tranmere. Well, the old fourth division, that's how long ago it was. But the old Wembley coming out the tunnel at the back. And then I just remember Tim Flowers just chatting to me. It happened so long. It was like 2000. It happened so long ago.
He said you have some set of balls in you, Tim Flowers, and that made you feel
size of elephants, he said. I don't think John Aldridge would be happy to hear this. Julia pulled me aside and this headline was "Cop no go for Joe," and they were just back and forward chatting about this for the whole flight. I've got a 14-year-old lad now, you know, and I'm looking at him thinking, could I send you, say, over to Ireland? You know, at that age, I just couldn't see it. Like,
his first task back on Merseyside was to face a Michael Owen penalty.
Yeah, I actually wasn't even supposed to be on the bench that day. I think I was back in the reserves maybe 2 weeks later. A fan sent, handed me a brown envelope. Not that sort of brown envelope. The scrum top story was amazing. You know, we'd done amazing things on a shoestring budget. It was strange. He was an amazing character. Mercy really was. I think he was tempted to put me in. We were having a really bad run, and then Mick got sacked. They were really tough years. I didn't really know where my career was going. We had the best facilities, but something wasn't right. We stopped getting paid, and it was really difficult then because we'd gone like 12-13 unbeaten to losing 3 games in a week.
So I was on to a few of your old pals last night and friends of the show, including Andy Reid. He said you had great times there in the 16s, and then we got on to our other beloved Chemical Band.
It's great to see him still playing at the age of 57 or whatever he is. What is he now, 44 or something? 45? Great lad. Great lad.
I'd love to know how many minutes I played on the pitch. I'd say it was about 6 or 7. All in. I've actually only got my caps only about a year ago, actually. They came through the post. Lads,
if you want to hear that chat back in full, you can do so in your OTB Football podcast feed. Now, Liverpool have struggled in the WSL this season, so they've turned to Irish midfielder Denise O'Sullivan to turn their fortunes around. The Cork midfielder played in their first win of the season last weekend against Tottenham, and she was on the football show last night explaining to Owen why she swapped the US for Merseyside.
The size of a club like Liverpool then, and the promise of where they're going, I presume you just take one glance at the league table and you say that's not a fair representation of where this club is actually going at the moment. And it is one of those rare situations where you can allow the reputation of something to be a pretty big part of your decision making, because we're still talking about a league that is relatively new. We're talking about clubs within the league that are relatively new in terms of the women's side of the game. So you can expect big things to be coming from Liverpool over the next couple of seasons. So it's okay to allow reputation to influence this decision, I suspect.
Yeah, look, when I was deciding, then obviously the rumours came out, you know, people were saying, why is she going to Liverpool? I seen that everywhere. And I just thought it was my decision and I'll go where I feel most comfortable and where I see that the club has a vision. And that was the main thing for me. I know they're in a relegation battle, but the facilities, the infrastructure of this club here is made for the top league in England. It's going into training every single morning, you have everything that you need. You have chefs on board before training, after training. So you're really looked after. And people didn't influence me with my decision. Obviously, I'm here now and I'm really proud and happy that I made this decision, because I think it's going to be great for me. I think it's going to be good for my development still at 31 years old. And Gaz is an excellent coach, and his staff that are behind him as well. They really care about not only the team, but the development of the player. And I've noticed that in training with all the little details that I've been getting in the number 10 spot now. So it's, it wasn't a tough decision for me to come to Liverpool. I was always confident in it, and I kind of seen it more as a challenge and an opportunity to help the team get out of that relegation battle, as seen as the other side of it, like as a negative. I never saw it as a negative. And as I said, I'm very happy to be here.
On this week's episode of Coy Gig, Kathleen McNamee was joined by former Ireland international Karen Duggan, and the pair discussed whether Spurs really are contenders and whether this can turn the red season around.
Out there, Liverpool, as we said at the top of the show, 2-0 win against Tottenham, which is a massive result for a team that have been struggling a lot this season. It's their first win of the season, but also the fact that it came against Tottenham, who have been relatively impressive over the course of the season. And I think a lot of people have talked about what Ho has brought into the role as manager, and also that all the players seem a lot happier playing there. So this will have come as a big shock.
Yeah, a big shock, because like the narrative around the two teams is when are Liverpool going to get their first win of the season, and are Spurs a legitimate part of the race to the Champions League? And both those things were answered. Liverpool got their first win of the season, and no, I don't actually think Spurs are in the race right now. Liverpool, for the first time, looked like they had more energy than their opposition. I thought Chilag up front, I thought she was very, very impressive for her debut. Obviously, she came off and Enderby, her replacement, was key to the two goals. Kerry Holland, she's been outstanding for Liverpool. And I think Gareth Taylor praised her after the game, and rightly so, because she's been one player who's been consistently good and consistently driving them forward. And then we have our own Denise, got her first yellow card for Liverpool as well. So she's putting herself about there. Her partnership with, you know, she knows Nagano, so she'll be comfortable straight away. She looked to me to be playing in a more advanced role, but we know, and Gareth Taylor was talking about Liverpool being on the front foot. And yes, when they kind of got into this game and they saw that Spurs were kind of on the ropes, it's okay to be on the front foot. But I think at times Liverpool will have to bank in a little bit. And we all know the work that Denise can do defensively. So I think she will add a lot to the team as a whole. We kind of spoke a little bit about it last week, but it's a huge decision for her. It's huge. It's a brave decision for her going to a struggling team in the WSL, going massive from where she was. So you just have to give her a huge amount of respect for that. And yeah, Liverpool, like, they left it very, very late, 94th, 95th.
I was going to say, the scoreline doesn't actually really show how close the game was for a long time. Like, as you say, 94th and 95th minute. This wasn't, you know, the Liverpool scored in the first half and then kind of polished it off in the second. But someone like Denise there, she spent so long in one particular league. She's been a captain there, you know, players MVP. Like, her list of achievements is so long, and I think she's a sort of senior voice that Liverpool were kind of missing on the pitch a little bit.
And if you want to listen back to both of those podcasts, you can do so now for free in your OTB football podcast feed. And just one bit of transfer news before we finish up. West Ham have completed the signing of winger Adama Traore from Fulham. The 30-year-old has moved across London for an undisclosed fee and will be reunited with Nuno Espirito Santo, who he played under at Wolves. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.